ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Israel's defense forces have told soldiers they will enter Gaza to, quote, destroy Hamas and their infrastructure. Meanwhile, concerns are growing about the conflict spreading, says ABC's Liz Landers.
Though the president insists U.S. boots will not fight on the ground in the Middle East, the Secretary of Defense announced late Saturday that another Navy carrier, the USS Eisenhower, has been redirected to the Middle East to, quote, bolster regional defense efforts against Iran and help the Israelis.
20 trucks filled with humanitarian aid were allowed to enter Gaza Saturday when Egypt opened the border, but humanitarian workers say much more is needed. This week could bring more insight as to who would become Speaker of the House. At least 7 Republicans are expected to enter the running, including Tom Emmer. He is the majority whip, a congressman from Minnesota. This is ABC News. The 40-year-old president of a Detroit synagogue, Samantha Wall, was found stabbed to death early Saturday outside of her home. Police say they have not determined a motive. In New Mexico, there was a bomb scare at a synagogue in Albuquerque.
Police officials say the call came in via a suicide hotline, and public information officer Gilbert Gallego says whoever was on the other end mentioned the Israel-Hamas war.
It did express some negative sentiment towards the country of Israel and related to the situation in the Middle East, said that they were going to have a bomb set off to go off at a certain time here at the synagogue.
Police searched the Adat Yeshua and found a suspicious backpack, but eventually deemed it safe. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Michigan State University apologized after an image of Adolf Hitler was shown on a video board in the football stadium during a quiz feature. School put the blame on a third-party vendor and said it would no longer use that vendor. Brian Clark, ABC News.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. On Wednesday, the Department of Natural Resources Policy Board is set to consider the first update to Wisconsin's wolf management plan in 16 years. Roz Brown has more now on what wolf advocates have to say about it.
In late 2022, the DNR released a draft plan that wolf advocates were ready to accept. But since then, Kim Hollis, with the group Friends of the Wisconsin Wolves and Wildlife, says another revised plan has surfaced.
We kind of got the rug pulled out from under us because at the last minute, the plan was changed. It's not at all similar to the original draft plan.
2 years ago, Wisconsin hunters killed 218 wolves in a week, far exceeding the state's limit of 119. That resulted in a lawsuit against the DNR by animal welfare groups. A judge ultimately required the agency to prepare an updated wolf management plan prior to another hunting season. When the original draft plan was released, Hollis says wolf advocates were encouraged that it included recommendations not only from hunters and trappers, but also tribes and wildlife advocates. But she worries the DNR will be more persuaded by those who want to hunt wolves than pro-wildlife stakeholders.
The hunters and the trappers, even though they're a smaller group than the majority of the public, wanted more wolves. They make a lot of noise, and they seek to be treated differently because I think they've become accustomed to that over all these years.
Meanwhile, a bill has been introduced in the Wisconsin legislature to force the DNR to include a hard cap on the state's wolf population in the new management plan. The agency has declined to do so, saying a cap would limit flexibility in managing the wolf population. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Roz Brown. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Numbers 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. There we go. Listen to nice. Anybody who's going, what do you mean, what's so nice? I got to hear the music in my ears. We went there with a cold start without the music. We're radio professionals, though, Johnny Lupinacci and producer Anya. We can handle the heat when people throw it at us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, we can do it. But Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Lots going on, you know, really important, serious show tonight. We're going to, you know, dig into Israel, Hamas, and what's happening there. Do want to take a moment, though, and just, you know, kind of make sure if you're out there on the Civic Media site, downloading, checking out the Busted Pencils podcasts, you know, we, Johnny Lupinacci and Tim have been recording some extended podcasts with some of the guests and some of the guests that you like to see, Dr. Ethan Siegel, Dr. Carol Corbett Burris, Dr. Harvey Kay, who else, Johnny?
We had a big conversation with Four Arrows last week on the radio show that, you know, spawned into an extended pod. We had a great conversation with Educator Amplified, Joanna.
And that one's not out yet. That'll be coming out.
But they're coming. I mean, we're just, as these radio shows that you're all listening to and calling in and are part of, as you send us even more questions, and, you know, we just scratched the surface in the show. We've been digging in deeper with extended conversations, and so you can go online and grab those from the site and get even more. So we're excited to keep chopping it up with you.
Yeah, I mean, the extended pods, you say, you know, if you're loving the radio show and getting it, you know, it's a taste. We're opening the door. And when we have those guests, we have them back for a good 1 hour of an extended conversation where we get deep and, maybe even occasionally go, you know, a little bit off color occasion. More than anything, though, a lot of passion. And again, that's what we try to do every week, Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, for your neighbor, bringing the passion, bringing the power, and more importantly, just talking about education in a way that you go, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't think about that. I had no idea that that was all that was at stake. In fact, though, you know, as we go in here, it has been a rough week,
rough couple of them.
Boy, you know, it's kind of one thing, but, you know, what's happening going on today? And you know, we pre-planned the show, producer Anya, Johnny, we were going to, you know, how do we deal? How do we talk about teaching and learning in these times of conflict? You know, specifically now Israel and Hamas, what happened there? And since we talked, you know, another catastrophe in that war, appears a civilian hospital in the Gaza area was bombed. Right now, my best take of the news is that everybody's saying they did it. And as we point this out, though, maybe that's the question we put forward out here. If you're a teacher listening, if you're a student out there listening, if you're a parent, if this comes up in the classroom, and I saw this framed on chalkbeat.com, which is an education newspaper, but I'm a teacher and my students came in and said, teacher, are you team Israel or are you team Palestine? And the teacher was like, whoa, wait a minute. I had no idea they were going to ask that type of a question. Johnny, starting with that one, you know, you're got a gut reaction, you're teaching, you're in there, you know, you're in Detroit when you used to be there, throwing it down. And, you know, you got students going, Mr. Lupinacci, yo, what team are you on? How do you address that?
Well, Tim, that's a complex question. So I'm going to back up a little bit and then come pull back into this. And you know, for listeners out there who aren't familiar, Tim and I both are former social studies teachers, and we are teacher educators. We work with teachers, and on a daily basis, I'm working with teachers, especially around current events and things that are relevant in the classroom and on the minds of young people. And sometimes that's really exciting, fun stuff like who's playing in the Super Bowl, or you know, or a Taylor Swift concert locally that happened, you know, and young people share what's happening in their lives. And more often than not, and I don't want to make this current moment insignificant, but sadly, it's a common reoccurrence for teachers. Young people are witnessing a tremendous amount of violence in the world and conflict. And the conflict that's highly politicized and polarized in ways that are, one, often for our young learners, pretty dang scary. And then two, as we, you know, deal with slightly older and older learners, it's a little more complex in terms that, you know, that they get into sort of the politics of sides, and there is a massive amount of information out there that can be helpful, but also sometimes a hindrance in thinking critically, and I'm going to emphasize this, ethically, with an attention to humanity around the world. And so I backed up a little bit to say this is a heavy moment for educators. Last year we were in a similar one, not to say that this is a new occurrence or a new conflict, but I mean, we witnessed an invasion of Ukraine, and several classrooms in this country where, you know, teachers were calling and they were reaching out saying, I have young people whose families are in Ukraine, or who are Russian or Ukrainian, and in the classroom, similar to him, like, where do we situate on this? As well as the weight of, we're seeing a tremendous amount of very real violence. And so, very real. And so, you know, I backed out to pull back in here and say, when this comes up, and it does, that one of the most important things we could do as educators is not shy away from it. And we don't need, especially on this current moment in, we don't need to be an expert on the history or the specifics of the conflict to acknowledge young people witnessing violence and help foster and keep their empathetic reactions front and center. And I'll come back into that as we unfold in the show, because I think often the assumptions, we have to know all the specifics to respond or discuss a very real need in many of our classrooms. How are we navigating teaching in times of conflict around the world? And I'm taking up a lot of airtime, but I say the very first thing I do with all the teachers and all the conversations in classrooms when we talk about things that are scary happening around the world, or things that are causing us to have empathetic responses or fear, and it's to acknowledge that, yes, that's happening, to help put location to it so that people, and this isn't to say, whew, thank goodness we're not there, but to help bring some immediate relief to classrooms, to say, let's take a deep breath, because there is conflict and suffering happening, but it's jobs of adults around the world to be making sure people are as safe as possible and that there's resolve to this conflict as soon as possible. And that is like immediately, that's like get a fire extinguisher to a big fire, right, locally. So we just bought some time. We acknowledge that it's real. We're not gonna say like, we're not gonna talk about that, or you know, that's not appropriate for class right now because it's real. We're gonna make sure children feel safe because they're not stupid. They know there are children who are not safe. They've seen it on TV, they're hearing it, and they have a connection to that. And then we'll talk about, we don't have to be an expert on the conflict to address it. And so we'll probably get into some of that tonight, like what's happening. And for me, Tim, I'm going to draw heavily from my experience of teaching at the time of 9/11, you know, in Detroit, which is neighbor to the largest Middle Eastern population outside of the Middle East in Dearborn, Michigan. And they're right next to each other. And so there's Muslim folks and there's, and, you know, there's Christian folks and there's fundamentalists and there's a wide variety of people with different religious and cultural backgrounds who are pretty good at sharing space, but who these conflicts come to head pretty quickly in classrooms and in community settings. And so I'll draw from some of that experience tonight, but then also talk as a social studies educator who I wish I could say wasn't experienced with having to teach about conflict.
But it's the conflict, though, and you know, and said, yeah, producer Anya's getting in on the show tonight too, and we're gonna get there because we've got lots of twists and turns and ways to look at this. But Johnny, the first acknowledgement though that I think you put out there that I want to say, if you're listening to Busted Pencils, of course we are going to say, yes, this is a moment you have to step into as an educator. This is not a moment to say this is a controversial issue. I'm not going to touch this. I'm not going to go with this, because what Johnny pointed out, and again, the languages that we use, little kids, though, are going to talk about this as something scary is happening, and they're going to bring, and it's scary. And then something violent is going to happen. And then something politically complex is going to happen. And those are just the realities that the kids who are watching this are dealing with. And then they're having conversations with the adults in their world. And so the idea that somebody would say, we're not going to talk about that in school today because we got to get to the academic standards. No, this is the moment, and this is that opportunity to say, this is the space. What we haven't said is the opening up with that question that was asked to the teacher in New York City, are you Team Israel or are you Team Palestine? And recognizing right there that going, we as educators in this space aren't team anybody in this conflict. We are team, and I like Johnny, you said, we are team safe space. We are team empathy. We are team understanding. We are team as a place to try to kind of hopefully dig a little bit deeper. I know we're at 1 minute, Johnny. You want to get a thought in there before?
Yeah, and I'll say I land on this at all ages that I teach. I land on that. If we're going to say we're a team, there are no winners in violent conflict. Are no winners in violent conflict. When we lose humanity, everybody loses. Okay. And that's not to say there's a side. And I remind kids all the time on this in sides, hey, this isn't a sporting event. Sporting event isn't violent conflict, it's competition. And war gets confusing about that. And there are no winners. And there are no good outcomes to violent conflict.
And when we get back, Busted Pencils, we're going to do more. 844-967-2789. Give us a call. Busted Pencils back in a minute.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over
and over and over, then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Israel Hamas war. Educators, what is it? Where is your place? What are we doing? How do we address this? We've got second graders coming in talking about the scary things they're seeing on television. We've got high school students coming in and wondering what team we're on, Team Israel, Team Palestine, and all of that in between. We started off the conversation by first acknowledging that as an educator in this moment, this is not the time to shy away and say, this isn't something I'm going to do. This is why you are teaching. You are here right now in this moment to help create. And we said, you know, going with the safe space. Now, producer Anya, we talked this morning, and I know you were talking about potentially having some connections with some teacher friends, but maybe just though your sense as you know, the voice of the youth, but then also having been an educator, though. I mean,
yeah.
Your thoughts when you hear me and Johnny introduce this, give me a sense of what you're thinking.
Yeah, it's so tough to give some background. Previous to jumping into civic media, my job was Jewish education. So Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, just like CCD for Catholic kids or any other type of confirmation, we had Sunday school and Wednesday night school. And, you know, we talked about Israel. We tried to keep that in the biblical sense because getting into anything more recent is complex and complicated, right? So having just left, so many of my friends are still in Jewish secondary after school education, and the vibes are horrible right now, which is to say, like, my friends who last year their biggest classroom struggle were things like behavior, crosstalk, passing notes, not sitting, you know, all the classroom behavior that everyone deals with. Coming back from the weekend where this news came out, our kids, I obviously won't name any, but the kids who I knew still by name, who were rapscallions and scallywags and always running around, were silent and went to their seats and sat down with an aura of fear that my heart breaks, because in a way I know now that they get how serious these things are, but I hate to know that, like, my kids, like, they are still to me my kids, my second and third graders who are now third and fourth graders are now really serious, and I don't like that, and it breaks my heart. You know, I think Johnny's allusion to, or maybe it was Tim's allusion to 9/11, we have had conversations, my friends and I, that for Jewish kids at the very least, and maybe frankly for Palestinian kids too, I don't know because I'm not as tapped into that. This is their 9/11. This is watching on the news their friends and family, I'm sorry to be so dark, but die or feel that their friends are going to get killed. It's your Jewish students are not okay right now. Your Muslim students and Palestinian students are not okay right now. That's maybe my one takeaway, is no learning is happening because they're so scared. So, that's my thought.
Johnny, you know what, Anya, thank you. I mean, just putting that out there. Johnny, go ahead, react.
The thing that I want to come back to, Tim, when we are in classrooms and we're talking about this and we're connecting to it, not to teach the complexity of the history of the conflict or to say which side is right, but to start with the place of, you know, what we can do and the horrors that, you know, Israeli families and children are dealing with, Jewish families and children are dealing with, Palestinian families and children are dealing with, is for us as educators to refuse to surrender our humanity, to stand bold in front, in face of that kind of violent conflict and very real terror and grief, right? And say, acknowledge it. And then we could talk into this, like some of the different informations that may be piling on. But, you know, I think that's the biggest piece that we come to is for any educator out there thinking about, I don't know how to teach this. It starts really simple. We don't know enough to take a side, and I put scare quotes up.
Yeah.
It would be ridiculous. Yeah, there are no sides. To think, right. But our job is to, you know, to stand there and acknowledge and be present for the tremendous amount of fear and grief. And I brought 9/11 up, and thank you, Anya, for kind of echoing that, because that is maybe the closest connection empathetically or relationally that maybe teachers out there teaching in the U.S. have to this.
But even that, Johnny, I like the way Anya said, for, you know, you and I are more 9/11. I mean, 9/11 is kind of like, you know, a past thing. So, you know, Anya, a new teacher in their 20s right now, they don't have a connection to 9/11 like you and I do. And yeah, Anya, but and is this moment, you know, Anya's generation's 9/11 kind of way that they're going to look back at this time? And that's not at all what we're talking about here. But even that, see the complexity of people's different ways of understanding and viewing and how we come to see our place in this is different based on, again, our ages. So imagine Anya's in there with, you know, used to be second graders, now third graders. Johnny's in with ninth grade math students. You know, I'm teaching fifth grade U.S. history. The diversity of kids, the ages, the complexities of things that they're doing, and to know that this moment is coming across the media full force in front of all of these kids, all of these families. And the sense of saying, this is, you know, how do we talk about this? And I remember that, though, too, at 9/11, Johnny. The first thing that came up was there are a bunch of people going, you know what we do? We turn off the TV and we don't talk about it. And that was like one of those things going, what? Wait, we're not going to talk about what happened on 9/11, you know, yesterday? We're not going to talk about, what do you mean? And I remember at the time I was teaching social studies methods, and my brother was teaching sixth grade in Virginia, and we were talking about that. And I had him talk to my students because on 9/11, they shut down all the media in his school because they did not want any teachers engaging in that conversation. And that was such a moment of going, what are we doing, people? The number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. You know, how do you want to hear this conflict, Israel, Hamas, the war? How do we teach about it? Busted Pencils, more when we get back.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Israel's Defense Forces have told soldiers they will enter Gaza to, quote, destroy Hamas and their infrastructure. Meanwhile, concerns are growing about the conflict spreading, says ABC's Liz Landers.
Though the president insists U.S. boots will not fight on the ground in the Middle East, the Secretary of Defense announced late Saturday that another Navy carrier, the USS Eisenhower, has been redirected to the Middle East to, quote, bolster regional defense efforts against Iran and help the Israelis.
20 trucks filled with humanitarian aid were allowed to enter Gaza Saturday when Egypt opened the border, but humanitarian workers say much more is needed. This week could bring more insight as to who would become Speaker of the House. At least 7 Republicans are expected to enter the running, including Tom Emmer. He is the Majority Whip, a congressman from Minnesota. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Busted Fences, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Johnny, producer Anya, Tim, we are, you know, it's this moment here that we're talking about teachers, educators, Israel, Hamas, students. How do we do this? Johnny, I want to, you know, and I'll let you jump into this, but first things first, right? Anybody who's listening may have jumped on right now and or if coming to this and going, I can't believe Tim and Johnny are advocating neutrality. Like, I know Tim and Johnny, that like this doesn't make sense. They're advocating neutrality. They're Howard Zinn people. Howard Zinn said you can't be neutral on a moving train. Johnny, you're doing some of this right now with some of your future teachers. What happened today in the classroom as you were doing this?
Well, I think, and we talked about this in the first half of the show, Tim, we always talk about how it's important to teach current events. And not to always teach necessarily about them, but in response to what's happening in the lives of children everywhere, but especially in our classrooms. And Anya connected the dots for us in the first half, saying like if you're a teacher and you have students out there, which all the teachers do, they're not okay. Your Jewish students are not okay. You know, your Muslim students are being identified as related to this, even if they're not, right? And so there are a lot of students not okay. An extension of that, a lot of young people are aware that there is violent conflict, brutal violent conflict, where families and children are not just potentially in harm, are suffering awful deaths, and it's ongoing. And that gets then politicized or reduced, like Tim, you brought up, into which side are you on? And conflict is sort of like in a playful way, sometimes teased out as, you know, as there is a right side. And what you brought up, Tim, is like, we're not neutral. So I was advocating the first half, like the first primary response for an educator in a classroom right now is to acknowledge, you know, that this is happening, and to, you know, acknowledge the grieving and the fear and the empathetic response that young people have to these moments. Then that said, like in our class, Tim, it's, you know, it's people preparing to become social studies teachers. So we started to talk about there is information out there, because to take no side then, because kids are going to want to be learning about these conflicts. Well, like, why is that happening? That's a very natural and authentic question after the empathetic response. Why? Because there is an urge and a propensity in humanity to seek solution to conflict. And so this is an interesting and difficult moment, and why I wanted to share a little bit, Tim, in this show, why this is a helpful thing for teachers, is because teachers can't shy away from this, and they don't need to be experts, right? And so we kind of looked up, so what are the perspectives that are coming across? Because there's some really different information, and not even misinformation. There's some pretty good information out there that leads to sometimes making a rationalization or a justification for brutality. And so, you know, we listed up on the board. So what's happening in terms of, you might hear information that like the deaths of the Israeli children are inevitable because Israel's occupation of Palestine was brutal and wrong, and you know, and so this is a result of that. You also may be getting a bunch of information that, you know, deaths of Palestinian children and families or attacks on Palestinians are unfortunate and inevitable because of the way that, you know, Israel needs to protect itself from terror, and Hamas is bringing this upon its own people. Like this is a result of that. You might even hear, and we're pulling this because we did digs through news sources today as social studies teachers, you know, that an aggressive response from one side is only in response to an aggressive response from the other. So it's this sort of like violence needs violence. And one group's fear is more justified than the others, or grief is more devastating than the others. And this is sort of that really dangerous pitfall, Tim, I said, there are no winners in violent conflict like this, because this is the hierarchy of pain, or like the Olympics of cruelty, right? The old way, if we're to move forward in the world, it's not to have a nice, like, there, I don't know the solution. And one of the conclusions here is none of the teachers out there, teenagers, know the solution, okay? None of the politicians, we remind children, there are adults whose job it is to help make conflict resolved, to reduce the violence. There isn't a solution right away clearly to this. But I do know the old way is to make excuses for the brutality of the brutality of the brutality, and to figure out who's more justified. There is no justification for this kind of suffering. And so the biggest thing I advocate for teaching is that we don't let ourselves be numb to the pain of others, ourselves and others. Because I don't know the solution, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people in high up politics don't know the solution, but we do know a starting point. And a starting point is that if we're able to acknowledge the pain and grieve the suffering, especially of children, of other people's children as our children, then we break the cycle of inhumanity. There is a starting point, and that for me is where I advocate in classrooms, especially as social studies teachers, which we all kind of are, right?
But you just, I gotta stop you, because what you just did there too is you laid it out there and said, this is not neutrality.
No.
That you're talking about, it's a very powerful, passionate stance in favor of humanity, in favor of acknowledging the suffering, of acknowledging the grieving, so anybody who said Tim and Johnny are advocating neutrality, oh no, you heard Johnny. Anya, You got a little bit more there going on with you put in the captions there, something about a solution in from your former school. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, just to touch on, like, your students aren't okay, and also how do we teach this, and also what if it is considered inappropriate for your classroom? Like, I can imagine, I thankfully never had to teach something like math, but it could be hard, I presume, to answer what is Hamas when the question you asked the classroom was, how do we feel about the algebra test this week? But something that my former school, and again, this is rooted in the fact that this is a Jewish educational school. So we kind of had, quote unquote, the benefit of all of our kids coming. They at least had one thing every single kid shared, which was that everyone was Jewish, even if not everyone had family overseas or all these things. But what my former school, and I'll give a huge shout out to my friend Jess, who is just the most phenomenal educator, who has put her back and tears and sweat this week into, frankly, traumatizing herself by looking at the info. And I've been there with her in order to make sure that our kids aren't traumatized by it, that our students, we can talk about it. But the solution that was offered in my school, my former school, was, hey, gather everyone for an assembly. That's how we usually start, actually. And tell them, kids who have questions about the issue, this issue, go to Miss J's room. We're going to talk about it. Kids who just want to work on their everyday, the plan before the war started was Wednesday nights, we work on Hebrew. If that's what you want to do and you don't want to think about this, go to Miss A's room. And if you want to play games and completely disconnect, go to Miss C's room. And interestingly, none of our kids, who are so joyous so much of the time, and it's frankly so hard to calm down a lot of the time, none of them chose the games room. A couple did choose. They still wanted to work on what was supposed to be normal. Right. But a lot went to that room with the questions. And a lot of their questions were just, what is happening? Are we safe? Is this going to come here? Can Hamas get to us from here? So that was our solution, was to say every child is unique. Here are three options that kind of span that uniqueness. Where do you feel you want to be right now? So, yeah.
Johnny, I think, Anya, you missed being in Johnny and Tim's classes, man. Or you must have been absorbing the things we've been teaching.
Somehow,
over the years.
Yeah.
I don't think it's us, Tim. I don't think it's us.
Man. I wasn't going to push that, but yeah, Johnny.
But I mean, Anya, that's what, you know, there it is. And say that. Actually, what you laid out there sounds, you know, textbook in the sense of
you'd
saying,
hope, yeah,
yeah, you know, it's like, hey, guess what, student? You know, Johnny Lupinacci, he's got a lot, you know, go over and meet with Mr. Lupinacci. You guys are going to dig deep in the way you can, you know, work with Mr. Slecker. He's going to go over there and help you guys stay focused on your essays. And you're going to meet with Miss Anya, and you guys are going to, you know, do some problem solving. Make that decision. And that ability then too to allow students, and it's just say, guess what though, the majority are concerned and they do have questions.
Yes,
Johnny, I want a little bit of comment on Anya's solution there.
You want to comment on
it? I wanted your reaction.
Oh man, I love it. I mean, I think this is a great working example of educators recognize, like we just said, recognizing the moment of where students are. And their diverse needs. Some really want to know more information and some want to share and sift it out. And that is absolutely the responsibility of a learning space. Mm. Others are like, I can't even think about this, but I love how you said acknowledging it, like answering questions about where, like location, am I safe? Can this happen to me?
Yep.
They know it's happening, but really giving them information that acknowledges that it's real and helps them establish a safe place. But also recognizing that it's not safe.
Right.
It doesn't feel safe and it's not safe. So how do we help also assure them that we are working on their behalf all of the time, and there are adults in the community who are ensuring their safety by any means? And that's a really big, important piece around community and solidarity in these moments. And I love the way Anya's school and colleagues dealt with this.
Yeah.
Saying, like, you might need space. Yeah.
Sorry, not my solution, my dear, dear friend Jess's. I just want to give her the credit. She has truly sifted through some of the most abhorrent images and words to make sure that she was as knowledgeable as possible. And I just can't even contend with that. So, yeah.
Anya, you brought up something, though, too, that again, in this moment, typically, too, in these kind of moments, so you could say, well, that's, you know, from a safety standpoint, that's happening over there. So kids, you're okay. On this one, people are going like, wait, I don't know if I'm even safe here.
That's right. That's right.
And you know, because it's like, oh, that happens over there. You know, we can learn the facts, and it's sad that these things, but it has already started to happen here. Very horrible story of a 6-year-old Palestinian boy here in America and what happened to him and his mom. Okay. You know, that story, one of our students is going to see that story and come in the next day and say, is that going to happen to me? One other student might come in and, you know, might come in with, that's exactly what, you know, they had it coming. And man, teacher, you in that moment to say, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. Go sit down. I get it. And in fact, in this other moment of Johnny, we've been talking about this for the last 2 years, the attack on teachers to be able to teach in critical moments like this, the idea of the saying that, you know, if this is something uncomfortable, don't you dare go near it. Here, it's like, wait a minute, that's how stupid those rules were to begin with. The idea that you can mandate teachers stay away from conflict, teachers being embedded in the moment, conflict comes up. It's our job to respond, to create safe space, to create a way of understanding, a way of communicating this. And so, yeah, you know, so all of the legislators out there trying to legislate, truly legislate some form of, you know, weird neutrality, it doesn't work. And so teachers, here's your time. The other thing I would encourage you right now, if you're a teacher out there listening and you're saying, Tim and Johnny are really leaning into me to deal with this, and I don't feel like I'm ready, that in and of itself is also something to hold on to and say, I'm not sure I can answer those questions the way I want to right now. I'm going to do some more work, or as the students, we're going to look deeper. So I'm not, we're also trying to not push you to go, we have to get out there and do this. It's realizing that anything, though, you are that safe space, that person with the ethical way to help your children recognize this violence is real, and there's a place to talk about it, and there's safety. 844-967-2789. Busted Pencils. When we get back, we break it down. Back after the break.
Mino and the Mayor.
The Magic Man, Don Majkowski.
I met you one time. You won't remember this because you met a million people, but I met you at an airport.
Oh, yeah. Here, you remember that match?
I remember.
Yeah, you were the guy in the airport. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure you never
met
anyone.
How you been?
I just was telling Johnny yesterday when I heard you were coming on, you were so nice to me, and I just introduced myself. Hey, I'm from Green Bay, and you're one of the good guys.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WIS. The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the Mino and the Mayor.
Brian, do you ever have ladies come to your shop, your beautiful, wonderful store on Military, and ask if the diamond they got was real?
Absolutely, they do.
They do, huh?
And how many, if any, are married to people like John Mino?
What's that supposed to mean?
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And on the Civic Media app, radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about. out at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Welcome to Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Numbers 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. There we go. Listen to that. Ah, nice. Anybody who's going, what do you mean, what's so nice? I got to hear the music in my ears. We went there with a cold start without the music. We're radio professionals, though, Johnny Lupinacci and producer Anya. We can handle the heat when people throw it at us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, we can do it. But Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. Lots going on, you know, really important, serious show tonight. We're going to, you know, dig into Israel, Hamas, and what's happening there. Do want to take a moment, though, and just, you know, kind of make sure if you're out there on the Civic Media site downloading, checking out the Busted Pencils podcasts, you know, we, Johnny Lupinacci and Tim, have been recording some extended podcasts with some of the guests, and some of the guests that you like to see, Dr. Ethan Siegel, Dr. Carol Corbett Burris, Dr. Harvey Kay, who else, Johnny?
We had a big conversation with Four Arrows last week on the radio show that, you know, spawned into an extended pod. We had a great conversation with Educator Amplified, Joanna.
And that one's not out yet. That'll be coming out.
But they're coming. I mean, we're just, as these radio shows that you're all listening to and calling in and are a part of, as you send us even more questions, and, you know, we just scratched the surface in the show. We've been digging in deeper with extended conversations, and so you can go online and grab those from the site and get even more. So we're excited to keep chopping it up with you.
Yeah, I mean, the extended pods, you say, you know, if you're loving the radio show and getting it, you know, it's a taste. We're opening the door. And when we have those guests, we have them back for a good 1 hour of an extended conversation where we get deep and, maybe even occasionally go, you know, a little bit off color occasion. More than anything, though, a lot of passion. And again, that's what we try to do every week, Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, for your neighbor, bringing the passion, bringing the power, and more importantly, just talking about education in a way that you go, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't think about that. I had no idea that that was all that was at stake. In fact, though, you know, as we go in here, it has been a rough week.
A rough couple of them.
It's kind of one thing, but you know what's happening going on today, and you know, we pre-planned the show, producer Anya, Johnny. We were gonna, you know, how do we deal, how do we talk about teaching and learning in these times of conflict, you know, specifically now Israel and Hamas, what happened there, and since we talked, you know, another catastrophe in that war, appears a civilian hospital in the Gaza area was bombed. Right now, my best take of the news is that everybody's saying they did it. And as we point this out, though, maybe that's the question we put forward out here. If you're a teacher listening, if you're a student out there listening, if you're a parent, if this comes up in the classroom, and I saw this framed on chalkbeat.com, which is an education newspaper, but I'm a teacher and my students came in and said, teacher, are you team Israel or are you team Palestine? And the teacher was like, whoa, wait a minute, I had no idea they were going to ask that type of a question. Johnny, starting with that one, you know, you're got a gut reaction, you're teaching, you're in there, you know, you're in Detroit when you used to be there, throwing it down. And, you know, you got students going, Mr. Lupinacci, yo, what team are you on? How do you address that?
Well, Tim, that's a complex question. So I'm going to back up a little bit and then come pull back into this. And for listeners out there who aren't familiar, Tim and I both are former social studies teachers, and we are teacher educators. We work with teachers, and on a daily basis, I'm working with teachers, especially around current events and things that are relevant in the classroom and on the minds of young people. And sometimes that's really exciting, fun stuff like who's playing in the Super Bowl, or a Taylor Swift concert locally that happened, and young people share what's happening in their lives. And more often than not, and I don't want to make this current moment insignificant, but sadly, it's a common reoccurrence for teachers. Young people are witnessing a tremendous amount of violence in the world and conflict. And the conflict that's highly politicized and polarized in ways that are, one, often for our young learners, pretty dang scary. And then two, as we deal with slightly older and older learners, it's a little more complex in terms that, that they get into sort of the politics of sides, and there is a massive amount of information out there that can be helpful, but also sometimes a hindrance in thinking critically, and I'm going to emphasize this, ethically, with an attention to humanity around the world. And so I backed up a little bit to say this is a heavy moment for educators. Last year we were in a similar one, not to say that this is a new occurrence or a new conflict, but I mean, we witnessed an invasion of Ukraine, and several classrooms in this country where teachers were calling and they were reaching out and saying, I have young people whose families are in Ukraine, or who are Russian or Ukrainian, and in the classroom, similar to him, where do we situate on this? As well as the weight of, we're seeing a tremendous amount of very real violence. And so very real. I backed out to pull back in here and say, when this comes up, and it does, that one of the most important things we could do as educators is not shy away from it. And we don't need, especially on this current moment in, we don't need to be an expert on the history or the specifics of the conflict to acknowledge young people witnessing violence and help foster and keep their empathetic reactions front and center. And I'll come back into that as we unfold in the show, because I think often the assumptions, we have to know all the specifics to respond or discuss a very real need in many of our classrooms. How are we navigating teaching in times of conflict around the world? And I'm taking up a lot of airtime, but I say the very first thing I do with all the teachers and all the conversations in classrooms when we talk about things that are scary happening around the world, or things that are causing us to have empathetic responses or fear. And it's to acknowledge that, yes, that's happening, to help put location to it so that people, and this isn't to say, whew, thank goodness we're not there, but to help bring some immediate relief to classrooms, to say, let's take a deep breath, because there is conflict and suffering happening, but it's jobs of adults around the world to be making sure people are as safe as possible and that there's resolve to this conflict as soon as possible. And that is like immediately, that's like get a fire extinguisher to a big fire, right, locally. So we just bought some time. We acknowledge that it's real. We're not gonna say, like, we're not gonna talk about that, or that's not appropriate for class right now, because it's real. We're going to make sure children feel safe, because they're not stupid. They know there are children who are not safe. They've seen it on TV, they're hearing it, and they have a connection to that. And then we'll talk about, we don't have to be an expert on the conflict to address it. And so we'll probably get into some of that tonight, like what's happening. And for me, Tim, I'm going to draw heavily from my experiences of teaching at the time of 9/11. In Detroit, which is neighbor to the largest Middle Eastern population outside of the Middle East, in Dearborn, Michigan, and they're right next to each other. And so there's Muslim folks, and there's Christian folks, and there's fundamentalists, and there's a wide variety of people with different religious and cultural backgrounds who are pretty good at sharing space, but who these conflicts come to head pretty quickly in classrooms and in community settings. And so I'll draw from some of that experience tonight, but then also talk as a social studies educator who I wish I could say wasn't experienced with having to teach about conflict.
But it's the conflict, though, and you know, and said, yeah, producer Anya's getting in on the show tonight too, and we're gonna get there because we've got lots of twists and turns and ways to look at this. But Johnny, the first acknowledgement, though, that I think you put out there that I want to say,
ABC News.